So I'm beginning.
Yes.
Welcome, comrades and friends. Now my presentation is going to be all about roadmap to socialism, mostly relevant quotes from Marx and Engels, with a concluding section by me. Roadmap to socialism. What is to be done? Democracy is the road to socialism. Win the battle of democracy. Do away with private property. Abolish the wages system altogether. End employment to end unemployment. Achieve abundance for all and inscribe on the banners, from each according to their ability to each according to their needs. Communism is an association in which the free development of each is the condition for free development of all. Communism is the riddle of history solved, and it knows itself to be this solution. Marx, Private Property and Communism, 1844. Empirically, communism is only possible as the act of dominant peoples all at once and simultaneously, which presupposes the universal development of productive forces and the world intercourse bound up with them. Presupposes the world market. The proletariat can thus only exist world historically, just as communism, its activity, can only have a world historical existence. World historical existence of individuals, that is, existence of individuals which is directly linked up with the world history. Communism is for us not a state of affairs which is to be established, an ideal to which reality will have to adjust itself. We call communism the real movement which abolishes the present state of things. The conditions of this movement result from the now existing premise. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, German ideology. They have upheld a communismus, socialismus, humanismus. Communism or socialism. That means they have used the two terms alternately to mean the post-capitalist society. Well, in 1847, Engels saw that the communist revolution will not merely be a national phenomenon, but must take place simultaneously in all civilized countries. It is a worldwide revolution and will therefore be worldwide in scope. Principles of communism. Our concern cannot simply be to modify private property, but to abolish it. Not to hush up class antagonisms, but to abolish classes. Not to improve the existing society, but to found a new one. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, addressed to the Central Committee of the Communist League. The proletarians cannot become masters of the productive forces of society except by abolishing their own previous mode of appropriation, and thereby also every other previous mode of appropriation. All previous historical movements were movements of minorities or in the interest of minorities. The proletarian movement is self-conscious, independent movement of the immense majority, in the interest of the immense majority. The theory of communists may be summed up in a single sentence abolition of private property, of buying and selling. The working men have no country. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Working men of all countries unite. Manifesto. To conquer political power has therefore become the great duty of the working class. The emancipation of the working classes requires their fraternal concurrence. Marx Engels, Marx, addressed to the Working Men's Association. Emancipation of labor, guiding principle of Marx. That the emancipation of the working classes must be conquered by the working classes themselves. That the struggle for the emancipation of the working classes means not a struggle for the class privileges or monopolies, but for equal rights and duties and the abolition of all class rule, provisional rules of international. The emancipation of labor is neither a local nor a national, but a social problem. Embracing all countries in which modern society exists and depending for its solution on the concurrence, practical and theoretical, of the most advanced countries. At the same time, and quite apart from the general servitude involved in the wages system, the working class ought not to exaggerate to themselves the ultimate working of these everyday struggles. They ought not to forget that they are fighting with effects, but not with the cause of those effects. That they are retarding the downward movement, but not changing its direction. All they are applying palliatives, not curing the malady. They ought, therefore, not to be exclusively absorbed in those unavoidable guerrilla fights, incessantly springing up from the never-ceasing encroachments of capital or changes of the market. They ought to understand that with all the miseries it imposes upon them, the present system simultaneously engenders the material conditions and social forms necessary for an economical reconstruction of society. Instead of a conservative motto, a fair day's wages for a fair day's work, they ought to inscribe on their banners the revolutionary watchword, abolition of the wages system. Marx, value, price, profit. Karl Marx and peaceful revolution. The following passage from 1878, which emphasizes that such a transition may not stay peaceful, is a good example for Marx mentioning the winning of the parliamentary majority. An historical development can remain peaceful only so long as no forcible hindrances are put in its way by the existing rulers of society. If, for example, in England or the United States, the working class were to win a majority in Parliament or Congress, it could legally put an end to social development permitted. Laws and institutions standing in their way of development, although even here, only so far as social development permitted. For the peaceful movement could still be turned into a violent one by the revolt of those whose interests were bound up with the old order. If such people were then put down by force, as in the American Civil War or French Revolution, it would be rebels against the lawful power. Notice that the role of the parliamentary majority is not to legislate socialism into existence, but to help clear away obstacles for the working class movement as a whole. Considering that against the collective power of the propertied classes, the working class cannot act as a class except by constituting itself into a political party, distinct from and opposed to all old parties formed by the propertied classes, that this constitution of the working class into a political party is indispensable in order to ensure the triumph of the social revolution and its ultimate end, the abolition of classes. March on universal suffrage and political self-organization. Considering that the emancipation of the productive class is that all human beings without distinction of sex or race, that the producers can be free only insofar as they are in possession of the means of production, that there are only two forms under which the means of production can belong to them: the individual form, which has never existed generally and which is being more and more eliminated by the process of industry; to the collective form, whose material and intellectual elements are being formed by the very development of the capitalist society. Considering that this collective appropriation can only be outcome of the revolutionary action of the productive class, the proletariat, organized in a separate political party, that such organization must be pursued by all means which the proletariat has at its disposal, including universal suffrage, thus transformed from the instrument of trickery which it has been up till now into an instrument of emancipation. Engels on the mode of revolution. Friedrich Engels cautioned in 1895, there could be no doubt for us under the circumstances then obtaining that the great decisive battle had commenced, that it would have to be fought out in a single, long and vicissitudinous period of revolution, but that it could only end in the final victory of the proletariat. But history has shown us too to have been wrong, has revealed our point of view at that time as an illusion. It has done even more. It has not merely dispelled the erroneous notions we then held, it has also completely transformed the conditions under which the proletariat has to fight. The mode of struggle in 1848 is today obsolete in every respect. All revolutions up to the present day have resulted in the displacement of the rule of one class by the rule of another. But all ruling classes up to now have been only small minorities in relation to the ruled mass of people. the ruling minority was thus overthrown. Another minority seized the helm of the state in its stead and refashioned the state institutions to suit its own interests. History has proved us wrong, and all who thought like us. With this successful utilization of universal suffrage, however, an entirely new method of proletarian struggle came into question, and this method quickly took on a more tangible form. And so it happened that the bourgeoisie and the government came to be much more afraid of the legal than of the illegal action of the Workers' Party, of the result of elections than those of the rebellion. Rebellion in the old style, street fighting with barricades, which decided the issue everywhere up to 1848, was to a considerable extent obsolete. Let us have no illusions about it. In real victory of insurrection over the military in the street fighting, a victory of as between two armies is one of the rarest exceptions. And the insurgents counted on it just as rarely. All the conditions of the insurgents' side have grown worse. An insurrection with which all sections of the people sympathize will hardly record. In the class struggle, all the middle strata will never, in all probability, group themselves around the proletariat so exclusively that in comparison the party of reaction gathered around the bourgeoisie will well nigh disappear. The people therefore will always appear divided, and thus a most powerful lever so extraordinarily effective in 48 is gone. Does the reader now understand why the power that be positively want to get us to go where the guns sort and sabers slash? Why they accuse us today of cowardice because we do not take without more ado to the streets where we are certain of defeat in advance? Why they so earnestly implore us to play for once part of cannon fodder? We are not that stupid. The time of surprise attacks or revolution carried through by a small conscious minority at the head of masses lacking consciousness is past, where it is a question of complete transformation of the social organization. The masses themselves must be in on it, must themselves already have grasped what is at stake, what they are fighting for, body and soul. The history of the last 50 years has taught us that. But in order that the masses may understand, long persistent work is required. And it is just this work that we are now pursuing, Engels. For the full human representation of labor in parliament, as well as for preparations of the abolition of the wages system, organizations will become necessary, not of separate trades, part of the working class as a whole, as a body. And the sooner this is done, is better. Engels. Democracy nowadays is communism. Engels. Paul Draper said, the death of the state in Marx and Engels. The death of the state in Marx and Engels. Sashimo said, he looked forward, Sashimo looked forward to the replacement of the government of men by the administration of things. Now I conclude. Socialists are not against persons, but against capitalism. Socialism has never been and nowhere been tried at all. When it will be done, it will have to be established worldwide. World socialism can be established only through a peaceful and democratic way, by means of collective understanding, number, and rallies of the working class. However, if any minority group obstructs initiation of socialism, socialists will have to advance by encountering it. But force does not mean violence. Force or power is born out of the union of knowledge based on materialist conception of history and an independent organization of the working class. It is number, understanding, and solidarity that constitute real force. Only working class is the majority, 95% of the population of the world. It is only the working class who perform all work in capitalism. Therefore, their power is not violent. Winning elections does not weaken the argument for applying force, rather strengthens it. On the other hand, without taking the first step of declaring the legal defeat of capitalism through its own constitution, applying force against an elected government not only becomes futile, but also decimates the truth that it is the class, conscious working class, which is the majority. To win the battle of democracy, after understanding what we are going to do, where the danger lies, what and why socialism has a double advantage. A, we can show the socialist majority by sending majority delegates, not merely representatives, to the parliament. And B, in case there be any attempt from any corner to block this mandate, by using parliament, we can abandon the legality of the parliament. These tactics of social change via democratic means is free from violence and certain. Arriving at the majority and with it, instead of reforming capitalism and running its administration, socialists will get set to its abolition. They will not accept any administrative posts of the capitalist society before arriving at the position of the abolition. The task of socialist delegates, MPs, is not to help run the capitalist government governing process, but to incapacitate the process itself, to facilitate the abolition of capitalism by the immense majority of socialists. Because socialists neither support nor oppose the reforms of capitalism. Their only and immediate aim is to establish socialism. Without informed majority participation in order to reach the democratic decision in the interest of all, the conception of vote and democracy is meaningless. We need participatory democracy. Socialists do not trust political leaders, since the existence of the leaders means the existence of followers, and both remaining drowned in political ignorance. Leader-follower relation is anti-democratic. Organization and leadership are not the same thing. There can be organization without leadership. Leadership is not necessary when an organization is democratic. The immense majority of people of society can create socialism consciously in their own interest and with their own initiative. A socialist party does not require a leader. Socialists are all equals. The World Socialist Party India has organization, but no leadership. This organization is carrying on political class struggle as a vigilant guard of one most appropriate and pertinent explanation first put forward by the Socialist Party of Great Britain in 1904. Revolution. We the communists, we the constituents of the World Socialist Movement, organized towards electing MPs as socialist delegates to overwhelm parliaments and declare annulment of all property and territorial rights, whereby all that is on and in the earth will become the common heritage of the whole humanity. Thus, this will help clear away obstacles for the working class movement as a whole and usher the humanity into the realm of freedom towards world socialism. And for that matter, the necessary objective condition, that is productive abundance, remains matured since about the beginning of the past century. What is lacking is the other subjective condition, that is the class-conscious majority. Our task is to mature this condition. In view of that, we hold on to achieve socialism right now and here. We are not reformists. Thanks, comrade, for listening to me.